know where to start. You know, I have a real good ability to pick out a real good sermon. My problem is trying to get it across. So y'all have to bear with me. I know I look sick, so y'all bear with me again, but I'm not all that sick. I don't have any real excuse. I don't feel real bad. I saw a couple people looking over me and really looked like they were pitying me because I look so sick. I want to ask y'all a question. Have y'all ever stopped and looked in front of a mirror and thought how good looking you are? You know, I think we've all done it. I don't know how many do it still, but I notice myself after I go in the bathroom, comb my hair or something, and there's one face I never get tired of looking at. You know? That's my own. Just like what's his name, the moron on Happy Days or Fonz or whatever his name is. He goes in there and he looks at the mirror and he's gonna comb his hair and it's already combed. You know, he's walked out. Well, I think we're all a little bit like that, and I want to talk tonight about something that's real dangerous, something that's sort of peculiar about men and about Satan. You notice Satan, something real peculiar I've noticed in the Bible. Satan, it says, Jesus says to him, Satan, thou savest the things that be of men, and not the things that be of God. And I believe Satan savors praise. I believe he wants praise from men. I believe he wants glory from men. And I believe that's something really peculiar. You know, we as men, we have a sorrowful world. I mean, our world is sorrowful. You think about when Jesus came and he walked up the grave. There's a lot of reasons why people say why Jesus Christ wept when he walked up the Lazarus grave. And I'm not going to say that I know why. It doesn't say why. Why he wept, and it just doesn't make sense. He knew Lazarus was going to raise from the dead. He already told Martha he was going to raise him from the dead. He wasn't crying because Lazarus died. And they say, behold how he loved him. They were wrong. He wasn't crying because he knew he had lost a loved one. I don't know why exactly he was crying, but I wonder if at that moment he saw those people coming up to him, groaning and troubled and worried and fretting, just really hurting because they lost Lazarus, and he recognized, he felt, maybe for the first time, what death really was to us. I mean, it wasn't anything to him. He had power over death, but maybe he saw the sorrow in the world, how sorry this world is, how grievous this world is. This world is grievous. There's nothing good in this world, yet we as men still find things that we like in this world. We still find things that we can enjoy. And you know something? I want to talk about one thing that'll take us in a snare, take us captive if we don't watch out for it. We need to be ready. And it's glory. You know, there's lots of ways we can talk about glory. We can talk about giving glory to God, or we could talk about how we get glory, or what is glorious to us. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what glorifies men. There's some things that men get glory for. And I think there's four things. You might find more, you might find less. I think there's four things men, four kinds of glory men get. Men receive four kinds of glory. And I want to talk about those four. First of all, I want you to turn to John chapter 12 and verse 43. John 12, verse 43. Men get glory four different ways. And there's four kinds of glory. And I want to talk about those four. And I want you to think about in your life what kind of glory you're looking for. What kind of glory you're getting. And what kind of glory you like. And I think we're all going to be touched by the first kind. First of all, let's look at John 12, 43. It says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's interesting that they love the praise of men. That's something about Satan. He loves the praise of men. He says he savors the things that be of men. And I believe he loves the praise of men. If you remember, he asked Jesus to fall down and worship. He asked Jesus to fall down and worship. He wants worship. He wants praise. He wants glory. Have you ever thought about if you want glory? There's four kinds of glory. Do you want glory? I want to tell you about these four kinds. Two of them are from men, and two of them are from God. Two glories that men receive are from men, and two are from God. Two are temporary, and two are eternal. Two are present, and two are future. Two are sought for, not the same thing. Two are sought for, and two are not sought for. Two are just from. And I want us to think about these. The first one is worldly. The kind of glory that comes from men for something completely has nothing to do with spirituality. I sort of defined it, glory for the mastery in earthly things. Glory that we get for mastery in earthly things. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Have you ever noticed that the people out there that want glory, this is one of the ones that is taught. People look for this kind of glory, this glory from men, this glory from mastery. Have you ever wondered why Joe Namath was a good football player? You ever wondered why? Because he sought for glory. He didn't seek just to be a good football player for the sake of making football a better game. He sought for glory and fame, and that was his way to get it. That was his way to get it. He sought for something. He sought for glory, but he sought for corruption, for glory that's going to catch him and fade away. This is a breath with it, and it's a flower falls away. He sought for glory. He sought for glory, but it was going to go. It's a temporal glory, temporary. It's not eternal. But he sought for glory. And I wonder if any of us are speaking for that. You know, how many of us would really like... Here's the question. How many of you watch the game in Dallas or Philadelphia or those football games? How many of you watch that? Yeah, a lot of people watch that. Now then, here's a good question. And I'm going to put myself on the line. And I hope y'all don't give me too hard a time, because I know every one of you do the same thing. But I was watching that game. I thought, man, this is great. Man, those guys can really play. Beautiful catches and all that. And I had to go to the bathroom. So I went in the bathroom, and I don't know why you have it there, but there's a full-length mirror there and a mirror on this side. You know, and I got in there and washed my hands, and I looked up there, and I didn't see Ben KK, but I saw a helmet with number 12 on there. A big old bag. I had a neck this big. Boy, and I was fast as lightning, you know. And I saw myself down there, down, Ted! Down, Ted! And I run back, and here they all come in, and I duck out, and I get away, and I throw that pass, and there goes high in the air. And you know, suddenly I'm not the quarterback anymore. Here I am, the back. Now I'm running, and I reach up, and the guy hits me in the face, but I catch it anyway, you know, and I stumble around, and I make a touchdown, and that is what I really like to have. That's glory.
That's right.
For mastery, an earthly thing. That's temporal glory. And you people are laughing at me, but you do the same thing, don't you? Right. You do the same thing. The Bible says that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The Bible says that this is corruptible. This is something that's going to pass away. Something that's not going to last. This is a glory that we're all to see. I believe it. I don't believe there's anybody in here completely mastered the desire for that glory. That glory that we're all, this brother here and that brother there can look up and say, man, you know, he's good. He's really something. Or somebody can look and idolize me. I want to be idolized. You know why I like mission conferences? Because I'm a missionary.
Brag on missionary.
Man, I come up here and they say, boy, that Billy did this and that Billy did that, and boy, he's good at this, and boy, he's good at that, and boy, I like people to talk about. Good. You know something? I never did really mind people talking about me bad. I hear somebody say, man, you're and I always thought something was pretty good. He'd say, man, he's obstinate. Well, I thought Alistair was pretty good too. And he says, well, man, he's crafty. That's pretty good too. Clever. Yeah, mean.
Yeah, that's mean. That's good too.
I never thought anybody said anything about me bad, because everything they said about me seems good. Now, I don't know why that is so, but that's true. I'm not joking with you. That's the truth. Most people, they talk about me, I like them to talk about it any old way, because it all seems good to me. Okay? Because I like glory, and I like people to praise me. That's why I like mission conferences. That's why you like it too. And that's why you as missionaries ought to be careful. Because you end up seeking your own glory when you go to mission conferences. You won't go seeking God's glory. And you won't be seeking the right kind of glory.
Right.
See, there are two that are sought for, and this is one of the ones that's sought for. This is the one that's sought for everybody in the world. Everybody. It don't matter whether it's sports or politics or movie stars or, it don't matter what it is. They all want that glory, and the only reason they're in it is because they want the glory. They want that glory for themselves. And Satan wants that same glory. He lifted himself up because he liked that glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It's a corruptible glory.
Right.
It's a temporary glory. It's a thoughtful glory that all of us seek for. And I sort of wonder why. You know, as he was a little boy, saying, what's his name? Andrew and... Mrs. Riley was singing, Jesus Loves Me. This struck me as well. Why did you like what? Have you ever thought why? You know, you ought to stop and think why. Why did Jesus love me? There's no answer. Why did he love me? You know, a lot of people think he owes it to me. And I don't believe there's anybody in here, there might have been somebody, but I don't believe there's anybody in here who didn't at least one time, and probably is still now, thinking that Jesus Christ owed it to us to die on the cross. We at least thought about that one time. He owed it to us. Or at least he owed it to us to give us a chance. Or, you know, Jesus Christ would know us nothing. But why did he die? I mean, that's not what I want to get into. But have you ever wondered why people think why? What is there in this glory? Did you know something? How many have ever heard of Marilyn Monroe? Yeah, everybody could have married. She's a great person. But how many would trade places for her with her right now? Trade places. How about Steve McQueen? Now, he's a pretty good actor. He wasn't that old, but he died. How many would trade places? How about John Wayne? Now, John Wayne, he was one of the best. Jimmy Stewart. How many would take place with You know what? All in life, every moment of their life, they fought for one thing. They were the lucky ones that succeeded. And who would trade places with them? Nobody wants their places. Nobody wants to be a Steve McQueen. Nobody wants to be a Marilyn Monroe, a rich Robert F. Kennedy, a Richard Nixon. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants it. Because it fades away, it falls away, it's like the grass that withers. Man is like the grass. And the glory of man, it says in 1 Peter 1:24, it says the flower of grass, and after the sun rises up, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. Because the glory you've got, if you're seeking for that kind of glory, it's not going to be here tomorrow. So you want to be the best at something. You know, a lot of people say, I don't want to be good at everything. I want to be the best at something. You know why? Being good at everything is really a lot more practical than being the best at one thing. A lot more practical. But nobody gets glory for being good at everything. You only get glory for being the best. That's the only reason. But everybody wants to be the best at something. Not good. I'm good at everything. I really am. I'm good at everything. I'm a successful fella. I never put my hands to nothing that sooner or later doesn't work out. Except that Rubik's Cube. And the pimple. Yeah. I'm pretty good at everything, but you know, I'd like to be the best. I'd like to be able to play the accordion really good and play the organ, and I'd like to be able to play the guitar. I'd like to have a beautiful voice and sing, you know, really good. I'd like that because I like glory, and I like you people to praise me. How many of you like people to praise you? Well, that's all. Everybody here wants somebody to praise you.
Right.
Everybody here wants somebody to praise them because you're seeking the wrong kind of glory. I'm telling you the truth. You think this is funny, and I think this is funny, because we're mentioning it here sort of in a funny way, but that's wicked. That's wrong.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to look for that kind of glory. You've been bought out of that, and you never had a reason to look for it in the first place, because it's going to pass away. It's no good. How many of you want a piece of junk I got? I got lots of junk. You want it? At one time, it was real good, but it's no good now. I got a Pinto out there. I'd sell anybody in here for $500. I'd give it back to Brent, what ought to do. I thought about that. That'd be really good at it. I know why I gave that thing to me. No, how many of you want my junk? Well, how many of you want this glory that everybody is looking for in this world? The same glory that Marilyn Monroe had. Same glory that old Rough and Ready, what was his name? You don't know nothing about politics, do you? Who is Rough and Ready? We know Teddy Roosevelt. Nobody wants that. He was a glorious fellow. Everybody thinks, how about Abraham Lincoln? Nobody wants that glory because it's just junk. It's withered. How many want a dead flower? Nobody wants a dead flower. At least there's some people who put them in the books and, you know, smash them. I don't want a dead flower. The same reason you look for that ought to be the same reason you look for old junk. Go, you put them in your living room. Some people have junky looking living rooms. I know. You walk in there and it's all antiques and half of it's not even finished. And I don't think that's pretty. I just don't understand why people want junk. But anyway, I'm not making fun of your antiques if you got antiques. I like antiques. And I myself was a coin collector, and so I had a lot of nice old coins. And I liked those coins. But the one day I realized they were just nothing to me. Really nothing. I mean, they were probably the most valuable possession I had. Probably. I really do think they were. And I knew one time, I know I was sitting right in here somewhere, one time I knew that couldn't be so valuable to me. So I stood up in a moment of madness and said, I'm going to get rid of those and we'll get the money tomorrow. And I knew that I had to stand up and say it, because if I didn't, I'd change my mind tomorrow. And did you know something? They were down in Guatemala at the time. I'd come back up and I left them down there and I couldn't get rid of them for about a year. Well, I brought them back up there and the silver had gone sky high. I could have sold them at that value, you know, at the rarity value for $200. But I could sell them for just melting down the silver for $300 and something. So I sold them, melted down the silver, and I sold them for the Lord. And you know why? It's because I just, Adam, in a moment of madness, realized that that was not really valuable. There was nothing valuable in it. It was just glory of a faded day, of a faded ages. No, it's no longer here. And you're seeking for the same glory, aren't you? You're seeking for the same glory. It's wicked you ought to condemn it.
Amen.
There's another kind of glory. And I'm going to call it borrowed glory. And here's my definition of it. You might find a better one. Men glorifying men for work God has done.
Men glorifying men
for work God has done. Borrowed glory. Now, there's nothing wrong with this glory because it's not sought for. None of these men I'm going to mention sought for this glory. None of them went out looking for this glory. As a matter of fact, you'll notice that everybody who goes out looking for that glory doesn't find it. Because you can't seek for this kind of glory. It comes to people not looking for it. It comes to people who don't even want it. It's like Moses. He didn't want it. We read in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses,
Inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house.
Moses had glory and Moses had honor. It says Moses was faithful in all his house. He had glory, he had honor, and that honor was his.
Well, did you know something that says that honor was his borrowed
glory? And the honor that Moses had when he parted the Red Sea and everybody looked up to Moses if he was a god, that honor was borrowed. It wasn't his, and he was going to have to give it back someday. And he did.
Amen.
When he died, it was no longer his. Nobody glorified Moses after he died. At least not him. Some people worshiped him, but nobody glorified him. He didn't receive any more glory. You want that kind of glory too, don't you? Nobody'd mind being a Moses. Or an Elijah. How about an Elijah? Anybody here mind being an Elijah? It's a spiritual glory, that's God's glory, that you can't do anything about. You know, there's a lot of people who badmouth Billy Graham. But I'd trade places with Billy Graham. I like Billy. I'd like to be in Billy Graham's place. I'd do some things different. And I'd be even greater than Billy Graham. How about Joshua or David? Everybody likes victorious people. These people didn't deserve any glory. God prepared a vessel. He brought them out of nothingness.
Right,
and
amen.
He prepared a vessel and he took it out there. And how many of you can say that all the glory you got, you deserve? I know I don't. Man, I know I don't. You know, there's been some times like, you know, did the Lord owe something to man? I've gone through all these questions. Really, I've gone through some real theoretical questions, philosophical. Anybody who's fulfilled it. I don't know any man who has this under his cap. He's going to get the glory for it. But I'm going to tell you about him because I believe there's somebody like this in the world. Maybe quite a few. But you know, we don't ever hear about him. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. But this is the man that's going to receive glory someday from God for something he's done that nobody else even knows about. Nobody else even ever heard about. Something like praying. Praying in your closet. You know something? You don't ever get glory for praising in your closet.
Right.
Nobody comes and pats you on the back for praying in your closet.
Right. Amen.
You know something? It don't matter how many times I pray for you, nobody pats me on the back for it. So I'm not doing it for glory, am I? I'm not doing it to lift myself up. There's no bad reason to pray in your closet. No bad reason. There's no wrong reason to pray in your closet. And how about knocking on doors when nobody knows you're not knocking on doors? How about getting out? There's a man, I'm sure, somewhere who gets up at, well, John Wesley got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But maybe this man only gets up at 5 o'clock because he's got to be at work at 8 o'clock and he wants to get in a lot of prayer. So he prays early in the morning. He wakes up and he prays for the Campbells. He prays that they'd be strengthened and taken care of. And he prays for these young people. So that they'd be strengthened and taken care of. And he prays for the missionaries on the field. And he prays for you, and he prays for you. You don't know him, and you're not giving him any glory. You know something? Nobody else, his wife probably doesn't even really know what he does. He's not getting any glory. But he's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for everyone in here because he knows, and he has a burden, not living in pleasure. He doesn't do it because he enjoys it. So that he that lives in pleasure is dead while he liveth. And he's not living for pleasure. He's not living in pleasure. He's not living to fill himself up with the pleasure of this world. He's living because he knows some things are right. And some things are necessary. And prayer, one for another, is necessary. And the Bible says we ought to not cease doing it.
Right.
And after an hour, maybe an hour and a half of praying, he gets up and he's exhausted. Have you ever prayed for an hour and a half? You get up and you're exhausted. I pray for 5 minutes and I'm exhausted. But if you ever prayed, I mean, you are exhausted. You've already done your day's work. And you get up and then you decide, well, I need to read the Bible. You know, we heard somebody say this morning that you don't read the Word, then you don't have a chance. You're starting the whole thing wrong if you don't read the Word. I need to read the Word more. I'm not this fella. I'm not talking about me. Because I'm not this fella. I want to be this fella. Because he's looking for a hidden glory.
Amen.
A hidden glory that someday
Amen.
Will be revealed. And I'm going to read you before I go on with this. It says in 1 Timothy 5:25, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, before death, before the coming of God. They're manifest beforehand, and those that are otherwise, it says, cannot be hid. In other words, there's some that are hid now, but someday they're not going to be hid. Someday they're going to be shot from the rooftops. And this fella that gets up and he reads his Bible, maybe he reads 50 pages in his New Testament. Maybe he reads his New Testament through once a week. That's a lot of reading, a couple hours of reading every day to read your New Testament through once a week. But he reads it perhaps, and maybe he reads the Old Testament some, and he puts his New Testament in his pocket and he goes to work. And he works all day. And during his lunch hour, you know what he does? He witnesses to his friend. And he doesn't go to church and say, look what I am, look what I am, I'm great, I'm super, you know, I'm doing a lot for God, and God's really gonna bless me, or God, you owe me. No, he's not doing it for this. He doesn't want to be a preacher. That's not his desire. He wants to do what's right, and he's doing good works that someday will be made manifest. Someday he's going to be shouted. Someday he's going to be open in front of everybody. And he's going to receive the greatest glory.
the greatest glory. There's another thing. The first glory is sought for, this temporal glory. The second glory is not sought for, and the third glory, for some reason, is not sought for, but the fourth glory is sought for. You can seek for this glory because you look at a glory that's eternal and exceeding
Amen.
Great. You look for a glory Amen. That someday you can have, and you can have this glory. It's not. This is not taken away from anybody. It doesn't depend on circumstances. This glory doesn't depend on, so you can have this glory. It doesn't depend on whether you're a good fella or a bad fella. It doesn't depend on whether you can speak good or whether you don't have any talent at all. It doesn't depend on whether you sing or whether you can lead people. It doesn't depend on how much you know or how much education you have. This is the glory of good works that someday is going to be revealed. And you can have this. This man, he goes and he witnesses to the fella during lunch. And he witnesses during work. And he gets off work and he's tired. And he goes home and eats. And he says, okay, I'll see you later. And he goes out and meets Joe down the road. Okay, let's go. We've hit these 50 houses yesterday. Let's start on these. And he goes up and knocks on doors. And the first door just slams in his face. We don't want none of that. Goes the second door. He knocks on the doors. And he's looking for somebody that'll listen to him. Because he wants to say that same old
Amen.
Story again. He wants to say it again. He's not standing out on the street corners getting glory to himself. He's not standing up somewhere in some church building where everybody introduces him as a great missionary, a great evangelist. He's not doing that. He's just knocking on doors. He's not getting any glory for that. He doesn't want glory for it. Because he knows that someday he's going to get all the glory he can ask for that. All the glory he knows that he's going to get it. He believes it because he knocks on doors. And he could be refused 50 times in a night and not talk to anybody. And he's not worried. He doesn't think that time was wasted. He doesn't think someday, he says, someday there's going to be a door open. And I'm going to walk in and I'm going to tell the gospel. And these people are going to... They're going to just
Amen.
Fall on their faces and say, Lord
Amen.
Jesus,
I
just believe you died for me. And he's looking for that one thing that happens. You know, sometimes I get a burden for that. Sometimes I get a burden to just go until I find that person that wants what I have to offer, what God has to offer. I just get a burden to do that. And you know something? I don't look for that glory. And that's why I'm saying this tonight. Are we looking for the right kind of glory? You're looking and I'm looking for the wrong kind of glory for sure. I'd like to be a great football player, a great tennis player. I'd like to be a great politician. I always thought that if I could be president, I could really change things around. Because I wouldn't be president. I'd become a dictator. That's what I'd be. I can't be a good president, but I can be a good dictator. I really thought I'd like to be great. I look for that glory and I say, it's wrong. And when I come up here to preach, I know I get up here and I think, man, everybody's going to come and say, that was a good message. Man, that was a good message. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to swell. But then I say, that's wrong too. That's wrong. That's borrowed glory.
Right, amen.
And then I think about that suffering glory and man, I don't want that kind of glory. Man, I just as soon let old, John Bunyan have it and John Huss and Watchmanee, they can have it. But then there's a glory that some days I think, you know, you ought to seek for that glory. You ought to seek for it a lot more than you're seeking for it. You want a successful ministry? Yeah, it's not worth anything. If you want a successful ministry, here's what you do. You go out and you pay pesos. Everybody comes to your church. And here's what you do. You hold a car raffle. And you build yourself a nice, beautiful building with beautiful words up front and a big old thing. And I bet you could have the biggest church in Mexico City. I really bet you could. If you want success. If that's what you want. But if you just want borrowed glory, then you're wasting your time. If you're seeking for borrowed glory, you're wasting your time. You won't find it. There won't be any glory for you. Or, there's a lot of things we could say about that. But we don't want suffering glory. But you can have this hidden glory. But nobody wants that glory. Isn't that something? Nobody wants that glory. You don't want that glory. You know why? Because if you really wanted that glory, you'd be doing the things I told
Amen.
You. Anybody can have it. You can get up at 5 o'clock and say, no, I go to bed probably at 11:30. I mean, I got to watch MASH and Starsky and Hutch. Yeah. You got to watch MASH and Starsky and Hutch, don't you? You say, well, I can't get up at 5 in the morning and pray and read and pray for every individual here. Do you know how many individuals there are here? Yeah, you start keeping a list like I used to start keeping here in the back of my Bible of all the people you can pray for. Kevin and Jim Campbell and Brother Taylor and Dad and Danny and Eddie and Rossi and Laura. You start keeping a list. Let's see. Let's see how many people you got to pray for in the morning. You just got to mention their name. You know, there's a lot of people. You say, I can't pray for that many people. And I don't believe in praying for things that I don't really have a burden for anyway. Well, you don't have to have the glory if you don't want it. But you see, this is the glory that you can seek for and get someday, and it'll be yours, and it'll be eternal, and it'll be worth something. It won't be temporal. It won't pass away.
Amen.
It'll be yours,
Amen.
And you can have it, but you don't want it. No, you don't want it. Oh, you don't mind being a missionary. I don't mind being a missionary. We go down there, we come up, we get money at least. I mean, we get some money. We don't get as much money as we'd like to have. But we get cars and people give us things and take us out to eat and all sorts of things. You know, anybody wants that kind of glory? I don't even want that kind of glory. I like that. Missionary's not too bad. It's really not so bad. But did you know to be a good missionary, then you don't get that kind of glory. Because you're going out knocking on doors to people who don't care. And they don't give, and they don't like Americans. And they don't like America. And they don't want to hear what you got to say. They got their religion. As a matter of fact, the priest just told them last time that they ought to spit in your face. They don't like that. And so if you want the glory that ought to come, that you ought to want, that's what you'd be doing. You wouldn't be out looking for any great other glory. People, this is a glory that we ought to seek for. It says Romans 2:7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory.
Amen.
Seek for glory.
Amen.
Them by patient. You know something? This is a glory that doesn't only come by what you do, but the faithfulness you do it with. You know something? I'm going to make a confession. Cindy doesn't like the mission field. She don't like the mission field. I don't particularly like it too much myself, but it's all right with me. I mean, I can live with it. Cindy doesn't like it. You know something? She'd come back here in a moment. Just in a minute. She don't care about her call. She don't care. She'd come back here in a minute. Except for one thing. God said, you follow your husband. And she's still there.
Amen.
You think because she likes it? You think because she got a lot of friends down there? Because her children are getting a good education in Mexican schools and because they're learning a good culture, you know? No, she doesn't like it. But she's there, and you're going to receive the hidden glory for the faithfulness you pass.
Amen.
It says patient continuous in well doing.
That's right.
You won't get this hidden glory just by doing a few things and sitting back and waiting for your glory. You get this glory for doing things when you don't want to do them. You get this glory for doing the very same old things, even though you've done them for 20 years and they never done a thing for you. You do the very same old thing. You say, I don't get anything out of my reading my Bible. You won't get any glory for reading it when you get something out of it. You'll get glory in the future for reading it every morning, every night. The Bible says in the Old Testament, write it on your doorpost, write it on your forehead, and you teach your children to fear the Lord. It says, just by patient continuance in well-doing, you can seek for glory.
Amen.
And honor and immortality. And you'll get it when you get eternal life. This is the seeking for glory. Galatians 5:26. I've got three verses that I want to read. Galatians 5:26, and I'm going to close. Galatians 5:26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. I think that verse speaks for itself. Let us not be desirous of this vainglory. There's two types of vainglory. Are you desirous of those two? The Bible says, let us not be, because it produces envy, and it produces provocation, it produces sin, and it's evil. And it's the very same thing that Satan looks for. Matthew 6:2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He says, but enter into a closet. Go do your alms in a corner. Do unto people that can't do back to you. He says, because then your Father would see it in secret.
Amen.
He shall reward thee openly. Future. Nobody wants anything in the future. We just got through playing a game of a choir. You know what a choir is? You invest for the future. You don't invest for the future, you don't get nothing in the future. You can enjoy all that $6,000 all you want, all through the game. You get $6,000, so you can just enjoy that. And all these people say, look at all the hotel. Everybody, look at the $6,000 I got. But you won't get a thing at the end. And you can invest for the future right now by doing things not to be seen of men. You know, there was a time when I refused to pray in public. There was a time. I can't do that anymore. I don't like praying in public. I can't do it anymore because I just cannot. I don't know, it's just a mental block with me, but I cannot pray to God when I'm praying in front of you. I just can't do it. But I have to pray in public sometimes to give an example and to show people what's really important. There's sometimes I just have to. I mean, it's just requested of me in my job. But I don't like to pray in public because there came a time in my life I realized that if you pray in public, you'd be a hypocrite. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And I'm a hypocrite in a lot of ways, but I quit praying in public. You know something? I got to the place where I'd notice when I'd go to another church and they'd pass a plate in front of me, and every time I'd take a ride, reach in there and get a quarter or maybe a dollar or two and put it in. And I got to realizing I'm not going to get a thing out of that money. And so I decided right then I won't give any more money into a plate unless God tells me the dollar and cent amount. And when I do, I won't give money to a plate. Because every time I give money to a plate, I give it because I know somebody's looking. That guy sitting there holding it. That's the reason why I gave it. And if you can give it in any other way, that's fine. You do so. But I can't do it. So I came to the point, I'm not going to give money to a plate. I can give it afterwards. I can give it in secret. And maybe I'm being hypocritical in that. But it's just a conviction I came up with. I can't give money to a plate and give it rightly. So I won't give money to a plate. It's a lot easier rule than to say, I'm going to judge myself every time because I fail a lot of times. Do your alms in secret. And then the Father, which seeth in secret, amen, and he does see in secret,
amen,
he'll reward thee openly. 1 Corinthians 4:5 to close. 1 Corinthians 4:5 to close. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden,
amen,
things of darkness,
amen,
and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Amen.
And you remember the verse we opened up with. It says, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And this is going to be a deciding factor in where you stand in that line when we get to heaven, of how happy you are, of how glorious a time you'll have there in what you've done. And there will be glory. It says every man shall receive praise of God. But did you look for praise of God or did you look for praise of men? Four types of glories. Two are from men. The sought for glory, that secular glory, that worldly glory. It's of men. Men give it to you and they're going to go away. Sooner or later you won't have it no more. The borrowed glory, men give it to you. And then there comes the suffering glory. God gives that to you. And it's not now. It's in the future. And then comes the hidden glory that someday you're going to receive for things you've done that nobody's heard about. If somebody hears about it, you've gotten some of your reward. At least some of it. Maybe all of it. If somebody hears of it.
Right.
But if nobody hears about it, if you do it in secret, you know that God sees in secret. And that's the reason why you,
amen,
do it in secret. You do it in secret and God will reward you openly and you'll get it in the future and it'll be eternal. If you get it now, it'll quit when you quit. But if you get in the future, internal, it'll stay there forever. Those four. Two are temporal, two are eternal. Two are of men, two are of God. Two are, I feel I can remember them, two are present. Everybody wants something now. And two are future. You can have it later if you want it. And two are sought for, two are not. The two that are sought for are the first one and the last one. You can either seek for the glory you can have right now, or you can seek for the glory you'll have someday. And two aren't sought for, the two in the middle. The two in the middle aren't sought for. The borrowed glory, none of the people who got the borrowed glory sought for it. Martin Luther didn't seek for it. Moses didn't look for it. Moses tried to get somebody else to take it. Martin Luther tried his best to stay with the church. So let's keep this thing down. Let's not get too big. Let's not be rash. None of them sought for it. And suffering glory, I don't know of anybody who actually went out looking to suffer in order to get that glory. Maybe somebody does. I don't know, but it's not sought for. It might be possible to seek for it, but it's not sought for. You can seek, and you are seeking. Doesn't matter whether you think you are or not. You are seeking for one type of glory at least. If you're seeking for the glory of men, this worldly glory, it's going to pass away. You'll get it. You'll get some of it at least. And then again, you might not get it. You might even be successful. And what have you got when you're successful? And you might fail. But this other kind of glory, you can't fail. All you got to do is by patient continuance in doing what's right, in doing what's good, in doing what God's commanded you to do, just patient continuance, and keeping it under a lid, man. Don't go spreading it out everywhere. You're going to lose it. You can't spread it out and get it. You're going to lose it if you go spreading it out. If you go talking about it up here. I probably lost a lot this morning than tonight because I was talking about all the great things I've done, you know. You just don't talk about it. Just keep it quiet. Just trust in God. He's going to give it to you someday. If you just trust in God to give it to you. But if you start sneaking a little off on the side now, just like a kid has a trust fund, he goes and sneaks a little off on the side, and pretty soon when he's 21, he can be getting.